Do you hear that? It might sound like nothing to you, but it's actually the sound of nuclear, wind and solar energy. At EDF, we're busy generating more British zero carbon electricity than anyone to help keep future energy costs down for everyone and help cut UK carbon emissions to nothing. Sound good to you? Find out more about our zero carbon generation at edfenergy.com/helpingbritain.
Here's your money briefing for Tuesday, December 5th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. People trying to manage their personal finances often go off track by applying an old set of rules. A new book from The Wall Street Journal guides you through the new rules of money to help you reach your financial goals.
So often we have milestones set for us. You graduate from college and you think, okay, I'm immediately supposed to set forth on this path that my parents were on and my grandparents were on. And I talk to a lot of people who don't even want those milestones. They don't want to own a home right now, or they don't want to get married. And setting your own milestones then also allows you to reorder that path and tailor it to your own experience.
We'll talk to Wall Street Journal personal finance reporter Julia Carpenter after the break.
Let's put out this campfire.
Dad, Smokey Bear said to.
Drown it with water, then stir it with a shovel and repeat until cool.
Wow, where can I learn all this?
It's all on SmokeyBear.com because only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Managing our personal finances is something many of us do every day, but a changing set of rules can create obstacles toward reaching our goals. Wall Street Journal personal finance reporter Julia Carpenter is co-author of the new book, The New Rules of Money, and she joins me now. So, Julia, why did you and personal finance deputy coverage chief Beray Lamb feel the need to write this book?
One of the things Beray and I talked about early on is how so much financial advice that we've read or asked from advisors or talked to experts about is not for everyone. It's very beginner. This is how you open a bank account. This is how you understand what your cash flow is. Or it's incredibly advanced about, you know, calibrating your investments. And there's not something that speaks to everyone or that helps people who are literate a little bit, but not feeling confident in themselves. And we were actually really inspired by cookbooks for this, kind of a similar thing. You think about opening like Claire Saffitz's Dessert Person, and someone who wants to make a sugar cookie can make a sugar cookie, or someone who wants to make the croquembouche can make the croquembouche, or maybe the croquembouche person wants to make a sugar cookie that day. And we were thinking, what is something we can do that feels like that, that it's not condescending, but it's also not making assumptions about your knowledge already.
Ah, I like that. Cooking in the kitchen and personal finances coming together.
It's really similar when you think about it. You know, you learn by doing, and that's really what personal finance is too. You don't just make a croquembouche if you've never made a sugar cookie.
Let's talk about some of the new rules that people should know about. In the book, you talk about the importance of setting milestones. Why is that important?
So often we have milestones set for us. You graduate from college and you think, okay, I'm immediately supposed to set forth on this path that my parents were on and my grandparents were on and I see other people on. And if I'm not meeting these things in the same time that they were meeting them, I'm doing something wrong. And I talk to a lot of people who don't even want those milestones. They don't want to own a home right now, or they don't want to get married, or their goal is to one day quit their job and work for themselves. And setting your own milestones then also allows you to reorder that path and tailor it to your own experience.
How would somebody do that?
So the first thing we talk about in the book is identifying achievable milestones. Example, I want to own a house one day. I don't own a house right now. I can't just put own a house on my to-do list. What I can put is save for a down payment, talk to a real estate agent, talk to a friend who is a homeowner. When I'm saving for that down payment, where do I want to put it? How much money do I need? All of these little mini goals that lead up to this bigger milestone. And so for me, then, a more achievable milestone is get X number of dollars in my down payment account by the end of the year. It makes me feel more accomplished, but it also makes me feel like there's room for that to move, or room for me to supersede it, or room for me to add to it.
You know, so much of what we do in our financial lives or other parts of our lives are based on habits or patterns. Why are people's habits important with regard to their personal finances?
Habits are the foundation of good personal finance. Saving is a habit. Spending is a habit. How you talk about money with your friends or not talk about money with your friends is a habit. And a lot of behavioral science shows that if we are paying attention to those things, if we are paying attention to what we find ourselves doing without thinking, then we're more attuned to it and we have the power to change it. It's when you're not looking at those things that they sort of take over.
And we all have bad habits in our lives and lots of different areas. But when it comes to our finances, how can we turn bad habits into good ones?
One of the things is that you can look at that bad habit and understand where it came from. So you have much more control over it. If I'm looking and I'm like, wow, I buy $20 salads every single day at work. Why am I doing this? And then I'm like, oh, yeah, it's because I am so rushed at the end of the night and in the morning that I really don't have time to make my lunch. Or because I'm buying lunch every day, I'm not even thinking about it when I'm grocery shopping at the beginning of the week to buy things to make lunch at home. How can I work myself backwards from there and do that?
People might not be able to improve their financial situation if they really don't have a full picture of their assets. What does a financial review look like?
This is the thing that is the most important, and it's also the thing that scares people the most. I talk to so many people in the course of my reporting about student debt who don't want to face these numbers. They don't even want to face how much money they make. They don't want to look at the whole year and understand it. Because once you are seeing things in aggregate, then you're able to really pinpoint where some of the things that you can celebrate are and also where some of the pain points are. But it's also really intimidating. If you look at your income taxes, for example, there's a reason people just want to put it into TurboTax and not look at it. It's because it's really overwhelming. So we have a couple different activities in the book where we walk people through how to do that in a way that is so low lift that you don't feel that sort of crushing sense of failure. But you also feel like, okay, this is my thing. This is my control. This is how I can take over this.
So how can somebody go about doing that?
In the book, we call it Know Your Numbers. It's an exercise I wrote myself. I do it all the time. It's helping you actually take pen to paper, or if you want to do a Google Sheet, whatever is best for you, take pen to paper and look at every item that encompasses their financial life. So how much money do I have in my checking account right now? How much money do I expect to get in my checking account by the end of the month? How much money do I have on my credit card? What's my credit card maximum?
So it's not just what you have, but projecting what you think the numbers will be.
Yeah, it's once you have a picture of what you will have, then you can expand from there. Right now, this is my snapshot. Okay, what's my snapshot at the end of the month? What's my snapshot in 3 months from now? And from there, you can understand, okay, I feel like I'm always just barely getting by. I'm actually not. I have way more money in my 401k than I thought I did. Oh, it's good to look at that. Hey, I could actually be contributing more. Or you think, oh, wow, there's way more money on that credit card that I have forgotten about and, you know, opened one time and never wanted to look at again. What's the interest rate on that? Wow, okay, I should prioritize paying that off.
So a lot of knowledge involved, but it also seems like it's chipping away at a fear factor.
Absolutely. What we want this book to be is as fun as it can be. That's why we really wanted it to be a workbook, not just a textbook that you're going to page through and walk away and say, okay, I guess I learned a lot about investing, but what do I do with all of that? We wanted to include exercises, activities, pages that are just for reflection, pages that walk you through a game or exercise that helps you apply a lot of what we're describing to your own life. So you can fill in the numbers instead of us just giving you hypothetical examples. And that way it feels more impactful, but it also feels more enjoyable.
That's Wall Street Journal personal finance reporter Julia Carpenter. The book is called The New Rules of Money, and it's available wherever books are sold. And that's it for your Money Briefing. We'll be back tomorrow morning with the last installment in our series to discuss how kids and parents can practice money habits to keep their online money safe. This episode was produced by Ariana Osperu, with supervising producer Melanie Roy. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back tomorrow morning. Thanks for listening.